Welcome to Strip Mall Think Tank, where amateurs solve stupid problems. Here's your hosts, Jeff Cesario and Jake Johansson.
Hi, welcome to Strip Mall Think Tank, where amateurs solve stupid problems. I'm Jeff, my co-host, the amazing Jake Johansson is with us. And our guest today, unbelievable stand-up comic, Jackie Cation. She's agreed to join us. We have problems. I have a very small one that involves garbage and a very large one that involves our internet service. Jake, I know, has just been on like a month vacation with his wife in the wilderness. So he's loaded. But as we always do, we like to lead with our guests. We give the floor to our guest because
I have the tiniest error, the tiniest problem that I even know the answer to. Is that something?
What good news for you?
Yeah. Anything. Right.
Come to us unload. With your tiny problem.
3 weeks ago, I put in my garden, you guys, which, by the way, a week and a half early, because I usually put it in opening weekend of baseball season. Yeah, I went in early.
That's a little early.
But luckily, it's been a lot of rain, weirdly rainy here in Los Angeles. So my tomatoes and my yellow squash, that's what I planted. I did not go with zucchini this year. I didn't want to flyer anyone at the Home Depot. One year I planted too many zucchini plants and I genuinely had like 60 zucchinis. And I put them underneath people's windshield wipers outside of Home Depot because it was
funny. They're a good giveaway.
Right. I didn't even film it. I just did it and ran. It just made me laugh. It was instantaneous art. So I also planted a cucumber plant, just one. Because I didn't want a lot of cucumbers, but I wanted cucumbers. Yeah. And it's died.
Oh,
that's died already.
Yeah.
I love a cucumber.
Yeah. You know how I fix that? And I've thought about it for the last 2 weeks. Go buy a new one, Jay.
Yeah. That is a great solution.
A new plant. Try again. Plant again.
Yeah, because it's so early.
I was just going right to the results. I just say grocery store bag cucumber.
Done. Go buy some cucumbers, Jackie.
Yeah.
No, I want to spend $45 on a plant watering and a fertilizer so that I can get six cucumbers.
I did try and explain to my wife that that's what we were doing is growing the world's most expensive tomatoes. I mean,
they are very expensive. Here's the other thing, though, is in July, when I can have a tomato sandwich every day for a month, my life is complete. And then you might as well, I would like to die September 1st when all the tomatoes are gone. That's when I want to go.
So in order to solve this, it appears there's an easy solve, which you've already mentioned, which is
the advantage of
starting your garden early is that, you could just go get, I wouldn't go back to Home Depot necessarily. Maybe they don't have.
Oh, I don't buy my plants at Home Depot. I just
drive there to give away the vegetables.
To the produce sometimes. I don't know why I was at a Home Depot. I was looking to not get any service while looking for a wing nut.
I don't know. Right. That's another issue that actually, I think subconsciously the reason you go to Home Depot is because you understand the customer experience there. And what better to create a soft landing for that miserable experience than to come out to your car and there's a zucchini under your wiper blade.
That's right. I was there to make everybody's life a little bit better.
A little easier.
And yeah.
So you could plant another cucumber plant.
Mm-hmm. I might want to do a backup, though. What do you guys think? More
cucumbers is better.
It seems like we're all gardeners here to some degree.
Mm.
We've stopped at our house. We stopped with the gardening because.
Did you talk her out of it?
No.
Not my fault. Not my fault. Mutual decision.
There's no doing that. There's no talking her out of things. But she became very discouraged by the other animals who were satisfied with eating the produce much earlier than we were.
Right. They don't wait for ripeness. I was like, hey, guys.
And they also don't. They've got a prosperity mentality. They'll take one bite out of the tomato and another bite out of another tomato.
Right. Well, they want the freshest. They're bored easily. They're influencers.
I love that a squirrel has a prosperity mentality.
Yeah. And do you feel it's the squirrels, or do you have raccoons as well? Maybe a possum?
Well, to be honest, I don't have good surveillance footage of what's going on out there.
But you got to beef that up.
I think mostly it's the squirrels. I wouldn't put it past some of the birds that I see around here. And we definitely see raccoons and possums in our yard.
I also spent $12 on praying mantis.
To help with
larvae, to help with the insects, but forgot about it. Went on the road, and now if they lived, that's on them. I can't even remember where I put them.
You did, well, you're going to find out.
Well, I'm going to find out if they,
yeah. Oh, you can't remember where you put them.
Right. So they will eventually. Right. Eventually, I will either have aphids or I won't.
Yeah.
Because the praying mantises will eat them all.
Well, yeah,
you may have a root cellar that's largely featuring praying mantis right now.
Do they?
They're up to eating weight pretty quickly.
Oh, thank God. Good, because we also have a lot of June bugs that I'm not in favor of.
Ooh, I don't have any June bugs. That's interesting.
We got those weird beetles that Andy insists aren't cockroaches, and I insist, sure they are. And that's the end of that's our first fight. Okay.
Wow. That's
first in the history of all of your
relations.
Yeah, we don't ever fight. Yeah, so whenever we have a mild disagreement, one of us usually says, oh my God, our first fight. So
Jake, have you tried any, we're getting back to Jackie's problem, because I believe there's actually a couple other solutions.
Do you?
I really do. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah,
man. I feel like we're really,
I can launch into those.
Cause I think we nailed it. What else you got?
Yeah,
man.
Come on, Jeff.
First of all, why did it die, and how are your other plants doing? Are your other plants faring okay?
Thriving.
This is your, 20th garden in a row? 10th?
7th? Right. Easily 20th. I think 20th garden.
So you feel you have the experience. So it probably was the plant itself.
I think it might have been sun. It is planted in a portion of the garden that is not as well protected from direct sunlight. And a cucumber plant enjoys direct sunlight, but has to take first, as you can imagine.
Right. It's got it needs to warm up a little.
Put an umbrella over it until it gets.
You can put a little bit of a shade. You don't want to use a ring light, you guys. I know we have a lot of old ring lights from lockdown, but you want to put something that has a bit of a cover. We did it over the, I don't know if you can see. No,
that's direct sunlight. That's very direct.
I don't know if
these inside, they're outside right there.
Yeah. Okay. Do you see the green on top?
Yeah. So you got a whole patio.
Yeah. We have raised beds.
Well, those are raised beds, aren't they?
Yeah. Those are nice raised beds.
Jake, you came in strong there. You landed that well.
We got raised beds too. They're just flowers now. We switched to just flowers because of those varmints.
Right.
Oh, really? Hmm. Have you thought of protecting the vegetables with anything, Jake? And I still think there's something that I may.
I think the combination of the birds and squirrels, we'd have to put up some kind of really almost metal netting, like chicken wire or something.
Yeah, it's called chicken wire, and it's about.
It stops chickens too
for 6 cents. So.
Yeah, I get that, but then this
is it unsightly.
Yes, unsightly. Mm. It's right outside of our living room. That's where we're trying to have sightly things. That's where
the sight's got to be nice. You're hoping that it'll be
I'm amazed nice. That, yeah, starting to grow in your living room, you chose vegetables first. I would have thought for a living room, I would think flowers.
Well, not in the living room. They're outside the living room.
I got you. But Jake,
I like that we've really committed to this podcast.
Well, this isn't my problem.
How many episodes have you said? One of you just goes, says the problem. You go, well, this isn't my problem.
I feel like we've bogged down on this one. I feel like we've sort of solved it. I have a pest varmint related problem that I could ask.
But first, all right. Well, then I'll just quickly summarize. and we can move on.
Summarize.
If you could quickly summarize.
Completely different nursery. I would try the Japanese nurseries on Sawtell, even though it's on this side of the hill. And I think you're still living in the valley.
I got a Hawaiian, I did Sago Nursery over there on Burbank near Coldwater.
Yeah.
They've been there. There was a brief interruption when they were incarcerated during World War II.
Even a better sign. So they are of Japanese ancestry,
but they've been there for some time.
Here's the other tip. Three plants.
Bring it up three.
Three plants.
Two backups.
If one dies.
Yeah.
Then you're now running around the godforsaken valley looking for another freaking cucumber plant. See, Jake, I had a little something. Now you get used to chicken wire. There can't be anybody in your neighborhood, Jake, who's walking by going, well, they've ruined the entire curb appeal of their house.
You failed to understand my problem. No one would be able to see the chicken wire except for my wife and I, and we don't want to look out of the beautiful windows in our living room at some kind of
third world
vegetable Gestapo situation.
Wow. That's just a lack of commitment. Okay, move on.
I want you to dress a squirrel as Magneto and have the chicken wire get all tangled. It's my favorite scene in that X-Men movie done by that guy who touches children.
What?
I always go political. What?
Who's the children toucher?
I thought it was some dude was he groomed like 15-year-old boys.
Sirian McKellen?
No, I think it was Brian Singer. Maybe I don't want to. Let's name names.
Okay. Well, I thought you were talking about Magneto. So
no. The movie is the movie. The director.
Right.
And I said directed by.
Okay.
Let me just say.
My hearing's going.
There hasn't been a whiplash in the history of podcasting that went from cucumber plants to child molestation. That was quite rapid.
Well, you guys don't spend as much time in as many green rooms or. No, we're good. You know what? Maria's just putting an asterisk.
A green room for a reason.
Maria just put asterisks by the names now. She doesn't even. She's like, I can't even. So.
Well. All right.
Look for the hobo. Lady Comics, look for the hobo code. Okay.
Hobo code.
The hobo code of women comics in green rooms.
Yeah. Where do you put the asterisk?
You'd have to be a woman comic for me to tell you.
Well, but is there the asterisk? In the green?
Well, you know, when you sign the green room wall.
Oh, I see.
Maria will put an asterisk next to somebody who has some sort of sexual offense.
Wow. That's hilarious.
Yes.
And just the asterisk.
The silence.
I just don't even know. I want to kind of have a contrary viewpoint just because.
Because you've known those guys for 40 years. Me too.
Well, no, I mean, but what kind of judicial system is this run through? Just Maria hears something about somebody and then they get the asterisk. That seems.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. You're not believing the victim. I see what's happening.
I believe in the victim, but if so, these are only people that Maria specifically has been victimized by.
Oh, no, it's.
Okay.
But if there's been some sort of arrest.
So there has to be legal precedent on which to base the asterisk.
Is it just an arrest or is it a conviction?
Oh, is that okay? This sort
well,
of
the way our judicial system
Jake
works.
Jake Johansson is becoming an apologist.
Yeah, for, I would move the chalk line.
I'm trying to understand what someone might have done and what's the threshold of proof. Like, how do you wind up with an asterisk and do you get a chance to defend yourself? And what if you're indicted?
What if you're canceled and then all of a sudden you're playing Madison Square Garden?
Yeah.
I know. You're right. You're right.
That happened. That actually happened to a guy.
No, that always happens.
Shane Gillis.
That almost happens to all the guys. Louis C.K. The only punishment any of these guys get is that their fan base changes into a pile of douchebags who are like, she was asking for it, bro. She was asking for it. I mean, because Louis admitted that he did the thing and then he was like, no, but I don't want to write the bit about it. I always wanted him to write the bit about it. This is a bigger problem, you guys. This is not your problem. This is my problem. You're right.
It does remind me of.
I know I didn't say that. Now you're
I'm being that person. Nobody needs
some of my quips out of context.
Exactly. This is going to be cut up by Riverside FM. No, you were on Zoom.
We are on Zoom. Mm-hmm. Zoom's already, Jake, you're out of the business. I just gotta.
Well, finally, now this may mean I go straight to Madison Square Garden from this, or how long do I?
Right.
Well, he's semi-retired until he's offered a residency in Vegas or Madison Square Garden.
Either way, Jake, you can afford a customized cedar planking shed around your plants.
Oh, I was going to say, can make it nice, not chicken wire. Exactly. Just make a nice shed.
Well, so there's a silver lining here.
The sun has to get in. Yeah, I also had raised beds up on a roof deck that then compromised the roofing material, the dirt and insects.
No, that's...
You got to watch out. I got a varmint that's living under this house that is not active, and then will eat the bait off the, you know, I put the peanut butter on the mouse rat trap.
Yeah.
It'll eat it, or the trap will be sprung, but not regularly enough. Like this is a very intermittent visitor.
Well, maybe they're on the road.
Yeah, I think that could be the case. This is a rodent that's got a
it has a career.
Be on a tour with Jeff Dye. We don't know.
Do you think he works the heliums? Anyway,
he might. So, what about the guy who just maybe accidentally put an asterisk by his name because he was a last minute fill in?
But nobody knows about the asterisks. So, and you know how messy a green room is. Sometimes you put an asterisk and you're like, who's that? Who's the name next to? Who's the name next to? Right.
Is it just a little black asterisk, or does she have a specific marker that she uses for this?
For different offenses, maybe.
It might just be a bit. She might not actually do it.
Oh. What else is in the hobo code?
I'm still writing it. It takes a long time to get paid.
And you feel, does it take longer for women to get paid than men?
No, that's universal. This is a get walk to your hotel. I don't know if you guys have ever done the Creek of the Cave over in, or any of those downtown Austin, Texas gigs. You don't want to be walking by yourself. I was followed. I literally had to duck into a dive bar because I'd been followed, and I'm only walking three blocks. But the hotel is, of course, underneath an overpass, a great place to get conked on the head and rolled for change. Yeah. And one of the staff got mugged just 2 weeks earlier, just walking to their car out of the club downtown
Texas,
6th Street. Yeah. Right off of 6th Street.
I feel like you got to be careful, and you just tell me if I'm out on a limb here, but I feel like you got to be careful anytime you're around a lot of drunk people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You don't. First of all, step one, always be dressed. Don't run naked through the streets with money taped to your ass. Screaming. What's going to happen?
Although it should be within your rights to walk around topless with $100 bill on your forehead. That you should be able to do that.
But the forehead.
I don't know why I want to tell you guys this story, but one time I was very, very drunk at the Wisconsin Dells. Cesario knows it.
Dells. Ducks.
I worked the Dells one summer. It was a nightmare summer. I worked at a t-shirt shop, probably 85, summer of 85, right after. It would have been actually 84 because it was right before I started doing stand-up and I didn't know better. Because once I fell into doing stand-up, so it was 83, 84, right? September of 84, supposedly, is when I started doing stand-up.
Supposedly.
But would you write it down? Is it my birthday? What? I didn't write it down. The kids today, they know. I don't know. Do you guys know what day you started?
Deadline.com.
Not the exact date, but I do know 84. It was 1982.
And do you know what month? Like if you had to guess?
Yeah, September of 80.
February, March.
February or March? Yeah, see, that seems about right. You, Jeff?
September of 80.
Okay.
6 weeks, then went on a cruise ship and played drums for 6 weeks to make enough money to support myself and go back to Minneapolis, and started in more earnest in January of 81.
All right. So, we might not be young, you guys. You can see. I started at 80. Well, so it was 83. I'm in
my
Dells.
Disappointment with your wandering start date.
Yeah, you got details. Here's all I know is that I saw stand-up comedy for the first time the fall of 84, and I heckled Sam Kinison, and the manager said, "Open mic is on Sundays. You have to shut up." And then I came back 3 weeks later and did open mic, and it was and then I got a 1.8 that semester because I went to open mic every week until they made me a regular, which was about 4 weeks later because it was there was no other women and there was no other comics.
Where was this?
Madison, Wisconsin.
Madison. So Sam,
that's where I went to college.
That's early. Did you get a degree?
I did. I graduated in 80. I wanted to quit. My sister, turns out, is the boss of me and told me I couldn't. And so it took me 5 years, graduated in 88. Bill Kinison owned the club. Burned down 8 months later. So I did stand up every night for like six, seven months. Didn't do well in college, but then the club burned down. And then I was only doing stand up. I was doing mics and driving places, like three or four times a week.
And grades went up.
My grades went up, graduated after a while, and then I moved to Minneapolis. I tried to move to New York, lasted, I think, 3 or 4 weeks, had a day job at an insurance company with the unfortunate name Chubb Life. It was
in the Chubb Group.
Yeah. And I was in the World Trade Center back when that used to be there.
Wow.
Can I just, because it seems like we're drifting a little bit here.
So far away from the Dells.
I got all the tentacles.
Yeah, let's get back to the Wisconsin Dells. So what happened? You're drunk, the Wisconsin Dells, you had this job.
I had a job. I was, it was like 100 degrees. And we were just talking about nudity and how it should be legal nude. Mm-hmm. And so I was walking back from the bar and I had gone to the bar in my pajamas. I might have had a drinking problem. So I just needed
prior to going to the bar.
Right. I was drunk and I was like, I need more booze. So I went to the bar, had some more booze.
You had to work up the courage to go to the bar. So you got drunk.
No, I was super tired. 90 hours a week at the T-shirt shop. So, So now it's 2 a.m. The bar is closed. I'm wandering home Main Street of the Dells. I have forgotten my glasses at the house, so I can't see. So I didn't leave them at the bar. I left them back at my apartment. Uh-huh. And I'm walking back to the apartment. And I'm like, it is so hot. It's not fair that guys get to walk around without their shirts on. Mm-hmm. So I take my shirt off.
Right.
Downtown Wisconsin Dells at 2 a.m.
Well, from a physics thermodynamic point of view.
But I'm not wearing a bra. I'm not wearing a because I was in my pajamas.
Yeah.
And
well, you're going full torpedoes.
Right. I'm 21, maybe 20. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait, no, I would have been 19. And the drinking age, remember, at this time is 18. Well, so
6 in a lot of counties.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so I'm walking down. All of a sudden, I see somebody walking towards me. I mean, the place is empty. I'm like, I look around. Nobody's around. I can't see, but I see a blurry shape walking towards me. And I think, oh, I should probably put my shirt back on. Yeah. Whoever this is, they're not going to want to have to deal
with
this.
You're not super drunk then.
I wrestle, I put it on. It's a young man. He's like, "Hey, how's it going?" And,
how's it going?
And I'm like, he's trying to walk back to just going home. And he's like, you want me to walk with you? And, he walks with me and then we end up in front of, like my apartment was behind the T-shirt shop where I worked. So, and there was a bench and I was like, well, I live around here. And he was like, well, let's have a seat. And so he sat down and, I was like, well, I gotta work in the morning. And he's like, all right. So, I mean, this is one of several stories that end. And then I wasn't killed. So, but here's the scoop. I said, as I stood up to go, I was like, did you stop and talk to me? Cause I didn't have my shirt on. And he goes, yeah. Yeah, that was great. And so then I go home and he doesn't kill me and makes no moves, like doesn't, you know, is not a creep at all. That's in any way, shape,
highly unusual for 1983, 84 in the day.
Right. And, right, that guy seemed like a perfectly nice young man.
And very close to a Maria Bamford asterisk.
Right. I wanted to groom him. What? No, he was. No, I think he was in his 20s.
I feel like this is a only in the Midwest kind of story. Well, first of all, that you guys are having this interaction where probably you're a little bit scared and he doesn't understand what's going on. And then
he's completely confused. But when I wasn't scared.
Yeah. When you flat out ask him, hey, did you come talk to me? Because I had my shirt off. And then just the fact that you asked that question is very sweet. And then that he answered it and just said, well, yes, that is why I came to talk to you.
Well, it's, I don't know how many naked, you know, if a guy wasn't wearing any pants, I wouldn't talk to him. Right.
If I wasn't wearing any pants and then I saw somebody coming and I put my pants on and then we had a little conversation, I don't know if then I would ask them, hey, did you come over to talk to me because I had my pants off? Because I would be sort of like, I don't want to know the answer to that question.
Right. That's how drunk I was. I kind of wanted to know. And by the way, those are my social skills. I don't have very good social. So
why there's not a tremendous amount of cute romantic coming of age stories that are based in Wisconsin, because this is more the anecdote. I don't know. I saw her at the Dells and she had her shirt off. So
I was like, let's get married and have children. And then maybe we'll get a bass boat together with the neighbors one time.
Exactly.
Are you from around here?
It's my favorite Jay Leno joke. It's there was somebody was attacking women with an axe, and the police, Jay read an article about it. The police said, tell the women, you should talk to your assailant. What are you supposed to say to a guy with an axe and a hard on? So are your folks from the area? My favorite joke.
I liked he just told a story at Flappers a couple of weeks ago about taking his mom. He didn't know his mom was quite so starstruck, so she came when he first started. Maybe he was guest hosting, maybe he wasn't, but she comes, she's watching some TV show and that she loves, and she goes, there is a restaurant in this TV show. It's a fancy restaurant in Beverly Hills. Do you think it's really there? And he goes, yeah, I've heard of that. Do you want to go there? And she goes, I would love to go there. So they go, and this is in the, who knows what it is, but Connie Francis is still alive. And they go, and Connie Francis is sitting in the restaurant.
That's
and his
the most
mom,
precise date you've given this entire podcast. Yeah. All I know is Connie Francis was alive.
I'm just going to look this up just to understand. Like,
right. I hope I'm right. It's probably not Connie Francis. So
she's there at the restaurant.
So she's somebody. It's either Connie Francis or somebody. And his mom goes, that looks like Connie Francis, if I didn't know better. And Jay says, he's telling the story. And he goes, so I said, Mom, if you're in Beverly Hills and somebody looks like somebody, it's them. It's going to be them, Mom. Do you want to meet Connie Francis? I've met her. And what year did she die, Jake?
Oh,
okay.
Boy.
So hang on. This is a bit of a chore.
Hang on a second.
Expected a slightly quicker answer.
He goes over to Connie Francis and he says, will you come and just say hi to my mom? She's a huge fan. When you leave the restaurant, the woman goes, yeah, Connie Francis says that. She comes over and I guess whoever this was, if it was Connie Francis, said, well, it's been very nice to meet you. And his mom said to Connie Francis, I am such a huge fan of yours. What happened? How come you're not on television anymore? And he wanted to die. So when did Connie Francis die?
Well, this is going to come as a surprise to both of you.
There's a controversy here.
She's not dead.
Oh my God, she's still alive.
That's fantastic.
Connie Francis is 86 and she is living in Florida.
All right.
She's just a little bit younger than my mom.
There you go. And a lot of people base their age off of where Connie Francis is on the timeline.
Yeah, let's see. Let's take a look at some images of her.
We need that. I think we need the
money. 86. How do you think? She's not doing. She's doing great.
Why go there? Don't
He's hanging in there. She's hanging.
You know what my dad once said, what he, I asked him, and this was on me. I asked him if he was going to vote for Hillary Clinton. And he said, yeah, I'm going to vote for her. She's not hot, but she's overqualified. And I was like, she's 72, Dad. Why does she have to be over hot?
I think that's an Adam Carolla book, isn't it?
She's not hot, but she's overqualified. Does he get an asterisk? I don't know a lot about Adam Carolla.
I don't believe so. No, I think he's been
he's been married,
then divorced, but he's in another relationship.
Serial monogamist. That's what I like. I'm pro serial monogamist.
And and a dad. So
he might say something you disagree with, but I don't think he's going to sexually.
Oh my God. I say things that I disagree with. Are you kidding me?
It's Connie Francis. If she ever hears it, though, she's going to be so upset.
Yeah. Here's something else we do, Jackie, which is we do a tip of the cap, which is because we have so many problems on the show that when something goes right, the littlest thing, big things, doesn't matter. We like to tip our cap. And I'll start there, Jake, and then you can dive in. I'll give Jackie some time. This is weird. I'm going to tip my cap to the IRS because my accountant writes me at 7 p.m. last night and says, I haven't got your forms back.
And it's the 15th.
I'm in a blind panic because he didn't send me any forms. So I'm like, I just figured he filed an extension and was going to let me know, which has happened several times in the past. So he goes, no, it came out. I go, it didn't come. So we finally get on the horn together. And of course, he's all calm. And I don't know why. But he says, yeah, they come through the portal now. And so because they come from a different email address for a lot of our clients, they go right to junk mail. So I'm like, well, so my wife's like, we got to get that email address and put it in your book so that doesn't happen. So I'm cool there. But then he goes, oh, you can literally just do it online now. It's really easy. And I get my wife, because even if he walks me through it, we're going to be there till midnight. So I get my wife. 20 minutes later, we paid our taxes. We paid our estimated for the first installment, both state and feds, and it's done. So a double tip of the cap to first the IRS for making that part of it smooth, and then to my wife for handling it.
All right. Well, that was very nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's sweet.
You seem disappointed, Jake, that I didn't dive us into a horrible chasm of depression.
No, I'm happy about it. Well, I also had a morning IRS. So I woke up this morning and my accountant sent me an email that said my return had been rejected. And so she put me into extension because I didn't get, like you, I didn't get the email. And I think it was because of some other portal thing. So I didn't get the email till Saturday. So Friday, Saturday, I'm backstage in Minneapolis.
Oh God.
Cause I figured out how to go in and log in and sign on my phone. But then I got to tech support my wife through that. Then this morning it was rejected because the email was very confusing because it said, the IRS says you've been issued this form and they don't have this form. And so it's like, why are people notifying the IRS that they have a thing, but not just sending them the thing? But I was able to go on like a big boy. Before I went on this depressing tour, I downloaded a proof of health insurance and I sent it to the IRS. But I'm not tipping my hat at them. I'm tipping my hat at our guest today, Jackie, because I was on the road in Minneapolis. I flew in a day early so I could be well rested for my first show. And I didn't know what I was going to do with myself for the day. And she reached out and texted me because she was also in town doing a show with Maria, who probably asterisked up whatever beautiful theater.
The Pantages? Yeah. No, I think she left it alone.
Yeah. Anyway, so I had a nice breakfast with Jackie and you treated us.
I did treat you. That's right. That's right.
It was really, not just generous, but also loving and caring.
Wow.
Well, I should tip the hat to myself.
That was beautiful.
That is beautiful.
It was almost as sweet as my love letter to the IRS.
Yeah.
to keep it in the tax theme, I suppose I should tip my hat to my accountant, who didn't even ask if I wanted an extension. She just knew I did.
Wow.
Yeah. She was like, you don't want to do this at all. So she is correct.
That's well, that, yeah, that's sweet. Mm-hmm. So that's three pretty sweet tips of the caps to various and assorted sundries. So, and the first guest of ours who has ever also received a tip of the cap, Jackie Cation, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Where are you going to be? You guys plug your dates. I stay home.
Does anyone live in Seattle? Or in Vancouver,
yeah, we have fans
or Bellingham, just drive to Seattle May 2nd and 3rd and come and see me at Laughs in Seattle. Cause I'm trying to fill room so that somebody, so I can book the following week. Perfect. So I'm very funny. You can go to my Instagram and see how funny I am. It's at Jackie Cation. And, somebody asked me the other day, cause some comic, Laura House told me that he used to be a stand up, but now he makes leather bags. But, I didn't know it was.
So go see, Jackie is what she's saying.
Right. Cause he said, are you still really funny, Jackie? And usually I say, I'm hilarious. It's hard to be me. But I, was actually thinking about how many new premises I have. And I said, well, I'm kind of at a plateau where I'm writing a lot of punchlines. He didn't want to hear that. He just wanted to hear, I'm hysterical. It's all working out.
It's very good. It's going to be very good. You should go see Jackie at and Laughs is fun.
Laughs in Seattle, super fun.
This is your plug time, Jay.
Oh, my plug time.
Yeah, this is your plug time. So if you're going to use it on Jackie, go ahead. But we, you know.
Where are you going to be? Where you?
I want to go see Jay. I've got a couple of gigs coming up beginning of May. I'm going to be at the Arlington Draft House in Virginia. I'm going to be in Manassas, Virginia. I'm going to be at a gig that also, tip of the cap to Jackie, she got me, in Arden, Delaware. Oh,
that's right.
On May 11th. And then I'm going to be at the Punchline in San Francisco in May. So I've got a nice little stand-up thing coming in May. And please, you go to my website, Jake This, and link up or Google some things. I mean,
there you go. You got plenty of stand-up to
I'm all
to
over
go out and so see folks.
Yeah.
And that wraps it up for this episode of Strip Mall Think Tank. And on the way out, I only have one more suggestion. Maybe your mom, Jake, and Jackie's mother-in-law can bunk. That's it for the episode. We'll see you.